Okay, our speaker this morning is not new to us. He has been here for a long time, I think since 1995. And yeah, she's in Canada and attending Bichikina since 1995. And also work with the Jews for Jesus in Moscow, and was an acting pastor of evangelical congregation during the revival in Russia in the year 1990. And also, he is our worship leader, cantor, and web administrator in our website. No further delay, I will call Abe Abraham to share the words of God to us.
Thank you. Hello again. Shabbat Shalom again. Well, it is a pleasure to be here. You know that I live here. I kind of have my little bed beside the piano here, and I spend the night with the Torah. You know, I hardly leave these premises, right? Well, no. We all have our lives, and so I get to come out here and give the message to such an excellent collection of hobbits as you are. Not very often, but anytime it's a pleasure, because the Lord has provided something for us, and whatever is going to be spoken is not really me speaking, because I'm really not that important at all. But the Lord has given the commandment, the order for this day, and specific words from the throne room of God to be deposited into your hearts so that you would develop on them, digest them during the week, and reflect upon what you have heard as you go around your life. And we're going to start with a prayer so that the Holy Spirit will come and be present with us here. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so privileged. We're so incredibly in awe of what you're doing in our lives, Lord, what you have given us. We are thankful, we're grateful. We are worshipful of who you are, Lord. Our lives should be the testimony of our personal relationship with you, Lord. So we bring in our hearts to you. We bring in our minds to you. We bring in all our strengths. Like you said, that we should love you with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our strength. And so should it be. But Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, Ruach HaKodesh, to speak the words of your wisdom into our life. And may it be a blessing and anointing upon everything. We ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Yeah, it's going to be the long sermon. No, I only have an hour. But we're going to cover some amazing things. First of all, I'm going to give you the topic or the message. For some reason, it's not up there on the screen. But the topic is noise cancellation, like in headphones. Noise cancellation, focusing on Yeshua. And so that you would remember what I'm talking about, I actually brought some object lesson for you here. Okay. These are the headphones. Everybody has this. But not everybody has it with the noise cancellation. It's an extra feature. Now, we pay extra for it in the world. But guess what? This is a very useful feature, don't you think? When you're in the airplane or in the noisy environment, you need to focus. These things work quite well. And so, interestingly enough, inside of us, we have the filter. We have the filter and the focusing arrow, which allows us to focus upon Yeshua with no distractions, which allows us to literally listen to that inner voice inside of us. Who can tell me what that inner voice is? What's it called in the heart of the Christian when we get born again? What is this? Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit! Once we get born again, because this is when we actually acquire the Holy Spirit, we get born again, now we have an incredible presence in our very hearts inside of us. We cannot lose it. These headphones can be stolen, can be misplaced. This heart you cannot lose. It's here for you, with you. And it is the spirit of discernment. Now I'm going to give you a few verses about it. As you know, we live in a very loud times. These are the last days. Yeshua may come on Friday, may come on Monday, may come Tuesday, anytime He can come. And the world is very loud and imposing upon us different ideas. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Says that we should be testing all things. We should be testing and holding fast to what is good. So it is kind of a filter. So all of the lies, all of the enemy, all of the illusions, all of the sort of projections, and that includes our emotions as well. Now, you're in today for a treat, because you're actually going to see here on the pulpit that has never been done from this pulpit before. But I say, why not? We are to live our life with life, with the injection of the Holy Spirit, which brings the passion, which brings the freshness into our life. We have heard so many things, and perhaps we sometimes already screening it out too much. We heard it all often enough, we don't understand. But indeed, testing all things and living what is good is super important. And what is good? We're focusing on Yeshua. This is our focus. I spoke the other day to the Russian gathering, and I'm not going to repeat myself because those of you who have been there, they probably remember. But we're supposed to abide. We're supposed to be with the Lord, abide, focus on Him. And it's not as much onus upon our acting, what we do, but it is the focus on Him, His character, His attributes of God. If you take notes, I highly recommend for you to write down right now. I'm going to give you advice. Please read A.W. Tozer, The Attributes of God. This is an incredible book. He goes, every attribute of God, He's unchanging. So these attributes are going to stay, and they're going to direct, they're going to reform your life. If you want to know what kind of a sculptor eventually you will become, you need to know the sculptor. You need to know the artist who works with you. And he is beautiful. All these attributes of God are His for you, because He loves you. Now, in terms of love, yes, it is a fascinating word. We hear it from the radio. We hear the world proclaiming the question, what is love? We hear it. You know, Hathaway song. What is love? The world doesn't know. We know. Those who are born again, and that is the first step. This is why I'm proud to say that I'm from evangelical background. Because that is the first step. The good news that the Lord loves you, that you can receive that love. You can admit it inside of you. Then you will be able to test all things, retain what is good, and the concept of love will be clear for you. Because this is not your selfish love. Our love is selfish. We cling to things. We try to sort of protect our territory. We try to, because we're insecure. Our love in general, which stems from our heart, is insecure. It's full of evaluating how we're doing, how we measure up, how the other people look at us. This is all based on insecurities. However, if you get born again, you're established and unmovable. You are based now on the eternal attributes of God and His love. For God so loved the world. Now, that is His love, which is beautiful. And now becomes part of you. However, in the other place, and we probably going to touch it a bit later, it says in the first John, first letter of John chapter 2, verse from 15 to 17, it says that we should not love the world and everything what's in it, all its passions. Well, how do you reconcile these two things? On one hand, the Lord so loved the world, and on the other hand, we're not to love the world. Well, that's because of the selfishness. Our love is selfish. If we attach ourselves to anything, that becomes our idol. But it's vain. These are worldly vanities. Now, what I'm going to do today, I'm going to excite you, because this is going to be, we're going to cover a lot of what the world brings to us. And you'll be surprised to learn that it's not just hearing something like in the headphones. It's the colors, it's the vision, it's the concepts that the world imposes upon us. It's what we live in. And we're going to go through the colors. We're going to go through the rainbow that the Lord is that He has provided. The Lord has provided the rainbow as the perfect covenant, as the perfect promise. And we're going to reclaim that rainbow from the enemy, who has put a bunch of weird ideas into the people's minds that they can just do anything they want according to the colors of the alphabet? Well, no. We're going to reclaim it according to what the Lord has intended. And this is going to be done with a filter, with a Holy Spirit filter. And we would know what is right, what is wrong, because this, we are to test all things. Now, somebody told me, I think it was Kim, that LGBTQ movement has only 6 colors in a rainbow, but the original rainbow has 7 colors. So they already, it is not the right rainbow anyway. It is the fake. It is incomplete. And in fact, everything that the enemy does is not complete. Can I hear amen to that? Because he does know the full plan. He, like the angels, they can guess pretty much a lot of things, and he can overhear, he can spy, but he doesn't know the full plan of God, because he's the only one Lord out there, outside. He sees everything, including all these sort of a rats, struggle of the rats under the carpet. Somebody compared the Kremlin political struggle out there or in Russia is the, you know, rats being under the carpet, so nobody can see, you know, the carpet is moving around, it's horrible. Like this is what the enemy does, right? So there's no hope in that. You know, rats are going to eat each other anyway. There is no victory in this. You know, if one rat wins, the other one loses, but they all eaten up. It doesn't matter. And somebody also say, like, if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. not much to be said about that. So the enemy is incomplete and he goes like a hamster in a wheel. He just totally, continuously wants to drive you. This is what that Pharaoh wanted for Jewish people. To keep them in slavery, to keep them occupied. And you will be occupied. And this is why you need the headphones like this, the noise canceling. Because the amount of noise, the loudness of the world is insane. Especially in the last days. It's getting louder. I also spoke at the gathering that we need to actually be quieted down in order to hear the voice, the right voice of the Lord. In 1 Kings, it says that there was a mighty wind, but the Lord was not in the wind. There was the loud earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was the still small voice, and the Lord was in this voice. We need to calm down. We need to make it as a habit. We need to create this personal garden of staying, abiding with God. Why I say the garden? Because he compares us with a tree. With a tree at the living waters. Planted by the waters. Now, according to the Jewish understanding, waters are the Torah. Torah. The continuously changing, alive Word of God, which is not even cast in stone kind of written. It is applicable to your everyday. It is the living thing. It is the Word of God that is going to be breathed into you with such compelling force, even though it's very, very quiet. But you will be convinced. I can spend an hour trying to convince you something. You will not be convinced. Who's this other guy? Why should you listen to me? However, the still small voice coming from your heart, because the Holy Spirit lives there, you will hear it if you quiet down. Not only is this discernment and the filter, but it also the source of our energy. We get tired. Cannot go on a lot of times. Where is we going to put the energy? Is Elon Musk going to provide the electricity plug-in for us? We just plug into that. Our cars are electric, whatever. But even his cars explode, right? That's just not necessarily working. Energy is really in short supply. And the enemy wants energy, and so he sucks blood out of us. He sucks our emotions. He just attaches his demons with whatever he can attach to you, and they will be sucking this energy out of you. And this is not even going into any sort of energy concepts, whatever. You would feel it. You would be exhausted. You will try to measure up. You're going to be exhausted. You will try to do everything on your agenda, no matter what, because you have to finish the agenda. Well, you're going to be tired. However, what the Lord does, and we will see this, he provides little things for you, small little things every day that you're supposed to do in love for him. As he provides little things for you that you should be grateful about. So this is scale issue. This is really on the small, intimate scale. So when we say that the Lord wants us all our mind, all our strength, all our heart to love him, that means the full spectrum. And everybody knows the colors of the rainbow, right? Everybody knows. Mm-hmm. These are the colors. Yeah. But beside all that every child knows, we're actually going to go through every color. And we're going to find out what is good about this color, what is bad about this color. Because this is what the Lord continuously doing in your lives with emotions. Colors are associated, they impact us. This is something that kind of represents a concept. Just like there were 7 days of creation, there are 7 colors in the rainbow, there are some concepts that the world imposing upon us every day. And if we learn, we need to learn. We need to actually go deeper. I'm sick and tired of being very shallow. I don't need to be shallow. Why? I only have another 50 years to live. You know? It's not worth it. It's not a good investment. I need a good return on my money. I definitely encourage you just to go deeper, like every day, because what you hear, and it might come in unexpected form. This is why we're talking here about the full rainbow. Sometimes you would not expect something coming from the Lord to you with other colors, so to speak. Because you were kind of taught just to receive one color and not the others. However, it is the full spectrum. Now, what's fascinating about the trees, I'm just going to give you here a little factoid kind of thing. You know how the sunlight falls upon the tree leaf, the leaf of the tree? And so in order for the tree to get energy out of it, the photon, the little particle of light, has to actually get to the energy producing center inside that leaf so that this chemically could be converted to energy. And this photon apparently has about trillion different paths that it can go through this leaf of the tree to get to this energy center. And if that photon is going to try to do that, it's going to take a huge amount of time. It's not efficient at all. But we have tree deriving energy from sunlight with the efficiency of 100%. Like it just does it. Now, if you read the scientific articles, you would know that the tree actually uses quantum mechanics for that. It is not our physics. It's the quantum physics it uses. Because once this photon strikes the leaf, it goes on all of the trillion paths at once. There is no way telling on which path it goes. It just goes through all of them, and it arrives to the center right away. This is the quantum computing kind of thing. Now, logically, we cannot get to it. See, this is why we need the Holy Spirit. This is why Holy Spirit is amazing. It's supernatural. I'm not afraid of this world. I'm not afraid. It just means that it's bigger. It's bigger than our conception is. Now, also, when you look around, you see the meadows of flowers, right? They all have different colors. Different colors. But the way how this color physics work is that every object receives the color, and then it absorbs specific wavelengths, and then it reflects the other. So what we see is only reflected wavelengths, reflected colors. The rest is being absorbed. Now, we can learn from that. And this is something you might not hear or read about every day. But the fact is, you go through your life and you absorb things. They just stick to you. If you live in the toxic environment, say at work or in your house, where somebody can continuously blame and be negative. So you like a little flower, you're gonna wilt. You're gonna absorb some of this negativity. What the Lord wants us to do, though, is to provide us with a filter, because it says here we should hold on to what is good in 1 Thessalonians. And I'm going to give you another verse, which is the key verse for today. And I will return to it at the end of my message. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Which says, finally, brethren, he actually says, my children, because we're all children. Yeah. Finally, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Stay on them. Create a time in your life where you just truly remembering good things that happened to you. You're grateful for it. You praise God for them. You dwell. You stay within the garden. This is the Garden of Eden that the Lord has provided for you. Everything good. He put Adam in charge of cataloging this garden. It was all wonderful. He said, give it names. They're all good names. And the colors. There's been lots of colors in this garden. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, one word of caution before I start going through the colors of the rainbow and claiming it for God again. Woo! Yes. We need it. We need to get the rainbow out there. Come on. They have no right of polluting it or distorting it, whatever. But one word of caution. Because of colors, right? I want to ask you something which somebody else asked me, actually. Why do we, when we sing Shema, why do we sing, listen, hear Israel, instead of see Israel? Why is it Shema is based on hearing but not on vision? Can anybody have any ideas why? Just a little pause for you to contemplate on that. Almost everything in the Bible is if you hear the word, faith comes from hearing. Not by sight, but by hearing. It's because the vision is compromised. Because we don't see everything. This is number one. We are partly blind. And even if you're born again, you're still going to be a little bit blind. Because you don't know the full plan. You cannot see it. And you might dwell in the circumstances, in the horrible marriage. Or you can dwell in some sort of environment which is feeding upon you, being toxic, and just you are totally exhausted. And you believe, you hear the word, you believe, but you don't see it yet. The key word is yet. The vision is kind of lagging behind because the Lord is going to fulfill His promises. Can I hear amen? Eventually, He will fulfill everything for you, the good plan for you. It's going to become visible. But because it's kind of spread out in time and the enemy works in this miserable environment, sometimes it's obscured. There is a very ancient concept in the Jewish understanding as well, that there is no real darkness. It's the light which has been ingrown in itself. It's been knotted sort of in the tangled knot or a tangled ball. It's kind of wrapped. So, for example, night, Laila, means just the folds of space-time, whatever. So the actual light is still there in the middle of it. It's just not visible. So when we go through colors, I want you to remember that this is why the colors are compromised, and this is why we need the filter. We need the noise canceling. Even in our eyesight, in our hearing, everywhere. And we're going to start because the colors go like, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. But I'm going to add to it actually black and white and gray because it's also very fascinating. And these are concepts as well. So, this is red. Red color. So everybody can see that. Okay. What do you feel when you see the red color? You sometimes feel anger. Sometimes. Sometimes it corresponds to warfare. Sometimes it corresponds to aggression. Well, this is what has been corrupted about this color. In Hebrew, it means Adam, almost Adam, which means blood. And it speaks of redemptive blood of Yeshua, the Lamb, who covered us with His blood. So that is an absolutely gorgeous meaning of this red color, which unfortunately we don't always receive that meaning. It's been corrupted by the world, by the enemy. But if we stay with God, we will see that color properly. Next one is orange. Now, orange. Orange is the color of optimism, is the color of the honeymoon, like everything's going to be fine. So you just love looking at it, it's cheerful. And in Hebrew, it's called katom, which actually has the meaning of acquiring some vow upon yourself. So it's like really after the marriage, like you have the honeymoon. This is wonderful. However, it might not last. Again, the world is at work. Not good. But if we stay upon the proper conceptual meaning from the Lord, you will get some discernment about it. Next is yellow, and we're going to go quickly here because I don't want to keep you up from the food at the on it, right? So, like, everybody wants to have some food because we're Jewish, right? And this is good. Mm-hmm. So, yellow. This is green. This is yellow. Okay, but actually in the Bible, what's interesting, that's a good point, because there is no yellow as much. There's gold. Now, gold, with the Hebrew root, means fellowship and intimate belonging with good. It's the presence, it's being in the counsel of God. This is why gold lasts. This is why New Jerusalem and will be with the streets of gold. It's going to be everywhere. Because it's tzihav. Tzihav is a beautiful word which implies in it the presence of the Father, the presence of harmony. It's, you know, bet, hey. And also tzadik, tzadi, which means the righteousness. So if you stay righteous, and we are righteous with the Lord when we get born again. We are. Amen. So yellow is gold, and it's wonderful. Now green, yeah. Green in the Psalm 23, verse 2, it says that He leads me by the green pastures, by the quiet pastures. So this is the color of peace, the color of growing, so that simplifies abundance and beauty and tranquility. It's called Yarok. And the emphasis here is on the kuf at the end of it, and it's the final decree by the Lord. This is why it is so tranquil, because now it's not depending upon you, it's depending upon Him. He is going to fulfill what He has proclaimed, what He ordained. What He ordained is going to be done, and this is the color of the green. So anytime when you're in nature, you know that after the winter snows, the green comes again. It's beautiful, okay? But we don't see it often because we're in Calgary, right? Where the snow can happen, what, like every month, even in summer? So the white obscures it. Yeah, right, I hate it. However, we have blue after that, which is the color of hope. Now, who of you had ever seen these little bracelets that they put on the kids' hands about, like, what would Jesus do? You know, these different beads that speaks about the God's plan in different colors. Have you ever used this? No, come on, you should evangelize with it. You should get them because they're perfect for children. So what it is just different beads of different color that you can wear around your wrist. And if anybody asks what it is, you say, this is God's plan for salvation, and you can present the good news. Excellent. I don't see the reason why we're not doing it, but... So, this color of blue is the color of hope. There is a lot of wonderful verses that I could give you about each color, just not having much time. But I would actually do a little bit of a class on this later. Some other time. We'll go through it and we'll see how in the Bible these colors are manifested from the Lord to you in the different conceptual complexities. So blue is the healing as well. This is Rapha. So the color is called in Hebrew Tehelet, which puts entire emphasis upon Yeshua. It is the healing by Yeshua. There's two crosses there, two tubs. This is Yeshua in there. He heals you. This is why we have hope. Next is the purple. Yeah. So the purple is the royal color of wisdom, which again the Lord has the enemy has corrupted, because too much wisdom brings too much sorrow. As you have heard in Ecclesiastes. Too much knowledge, sometimes you wish, oh, I wish I didn't know that. I don't know, I don't need to know this. But purple is all knowledge. It's wisdom, it's royalty. But the good thing about it, in Hebrew it's called argaman, and it's based upon gimel, which signifies like the lineage coming from the divine. It's the divine lineage. So it's the royalty, but we secure in this royalty for us. Now I'm coming to three colors, which are fascinating. It's gray, black, and white. Some people live, they only see black and white, right? So it's either all or nothing. There's gray. And gray is not talked much in the Bible, but in Hebrew it's called ephor, and gray signifies your effort. You are miserable, striving to achieve something. It's just endless grind. Who of you likes coffee? Tell me, who? Who likes coffee? Okay. And you know that coffee produces grind. You got these grinds. These are tasteless. They're not having any taste. It's all been sucked out of it. So pretty much your efforts, if they continue and continue. What? Do you think you're going to be excited about like every day? It's very hard to do. You're going to live in this gray world. And R4 actually means, yes, you're just spinning in one place. And also it corresponds to the word lukewarm, which is in Revelation. You are lukewarm now. You don't have passion anymore. I'm going to spit you out, said the Lord. So, I don't want to stay away from that. I don't want too much of it. Now, black. Black, shahor. It's the darkness. But it is just meaning no light. That's what it means. And it also means the law of death and sin. So we kind of cause it upon ourselves because we sin. And with no redemption, no light, then you get black. And finally, white. White. Lavan. Now that Hebrew word is beautiful because it speaks of the heart. The root means the heart. It's fantastic that we have white, we have God's law inbuilt in our heart. It's there. We just need to return to it. It's the relationship. We are dressed in white before the Lord. He has totally redeemed us. We are secure. Now, I only have 15 minutes left. but I'm going to intensify my teaching here a little bit. And with all this rainbow, yeah, there's also pink here. Pink, brown, all these colors. With all this rainbow, we get a lot of noise. We need to tune it out. With all the sounds, visions, everything that comes to us, even relationships, some of them are toxic. Some of them are not needed. Some of them are not from the Lord. Your life is overgrown by weeds. We need a lawnmower. We need a landscaper. We need somebody who would pull these weeds out. Well, nobody is going to do it for you but you. So, and you have the noise cancellation and you have the discernment spirit inside of you. Now, one thing I really want you to write down is that is a verse from New Testament. It's the first John, the first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 27. Very, very profound verse. So I'm going to read it because, like, you know. But the anointing which you have received from God abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth, and it is no lie. And even it, as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And of course, after that, he continues, and now, little children, abide in him. And by the way, who here is offended when he's called a little child? Are you guys offended about it? Like if somebody comes to you and say, you're a little child? It's just a little point here. Shouldn't be offended about it. Because Yeshua likes little children, right? So at the end of my message, I'm going to treat you as little children. Isn't that refreshing? I'm going to do a little Sunday school object lesson for you. I bet that you forgot how you were in the Sunday school. It's been years, right? Because we're all very wise here. Old and wise. Not all of us are old. Oh, for goodness sake. However, what I'm saying, he continues here. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. So, but verse 27, what does it say? Verse 27 before says that we have received that spirit which is truth, which is no lie. He lives inside of you. And I checked Greek. It is sometimes good to go to Greek original. Charisma. Charisma. That spirit anointing. You getting born again, you get charisma. It abides in you. And abides means actually menet. You know menete? Now, so we can be secure in this. It is with us. It's going to stay here. Now, why does he, before that, he warns that we should not love the world? It's because he does want us to attach anything, make idols out of anything. Not to prefer. Do not love in Greek, in the original Greek, means do not prefer something. When you're with the Lord, you want to please him, so you would prefer godly things. Agapate means that God prefers. So that love, agapate, means that he prefers. So he will tell us what he prefers. And that means noise canceling. Because whatever the enemy likes, we should just disregard. We should run away from it. This is a very good lesson. We should be applying it every day. Another verse in the Bible says that we should be strangers in this world. Stranger in a strange land. We are strangers. And yet another verse says that God loved the world. So He has infused that beautiful world with rainbow blessings from Himself. We shouldn't squash that. We should cancel the noise cancellation. And so I'm going to finish right now with the object lesson like I promised, okay? Just, you know, bear with me here. So this is a little vase here, which I needed to put my headphones on. Just to keep it in my bedroom, right? Because I need a little stand for my headphones. Which is a pretty miserable vase. I mean, it's dark. It kind of has a nice color, but it's fragile. It might fall on the floor, whatever. It's just a normal object. It means nothing much. But see what happens once we get born again. When we get born again. There is a little thing now there. Which you might see now, if you see that, you see the Holy Spirit inside of it. This is your head. This is your heart. Inside of it is a little angel of Holy Spirit. And it changes color. Now what's interesting is that you see this other light over there, right? Which also changes color. See, it's all the different colors. And so what it means for you is that do not be afraid of colors. They change. It's okay to have change. It's okay to have different colors. This is our rainbow now. This is not the LGBTQ rainbow. This is our lights. This is our colors. We claim it. We reclaim it from the Lord because it is a gift to us. Now, what's good is that this light over there called eternal light or Leolam. So it's going to be forever. When we die, we're going to have these colors as well, but conceptually in some other form. So what we need to do, and I leave you with this thought again, Philippians. And before I say that, I also say that you heard that what Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, that you cannot serve two masters. You should be only serving one master. So this applies as well, your choice. Now, your choice is going to be influenced by that filter that you get in your heart. If you don't have the filter, you will not know what to choose. Your choice is going to be affected. You need noise cancellation and you need the filter. You need discernment to keep the stuff that you don't need out. And you need to tune to the Lord. You need to stay with Him. You need to abide in quietness. Listen to what He says in His still small voice. And indeed, I'm going to read again. Finally, little children, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. There's actually a lot more says here. Whatever is of good repute, whatever is of excellence, blah, 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 blah. A lot of good things. Lots of good things. He says, dwell on them. Stay on them. I personally has canceled my computer animation career. I had a good career before and in the beginning of my emigration. I was doing computer animation. I was designing computer games. And I was doing very well. It's an exciting occupation. Which the Lord, after I got saved, the Lord said, enough of that. You're creating monsters. You are creating imagery of dragons. You are creating evil creatures all day that people will be looking at. Is that a good occupation for you? Okay, well, I said, no, you know what? I'm kind of listening here, so what should I do? Well, the Lord has stirred me more toward interior design. Interior design. And then I had an excellent career there. I've been paid a lot. I was the head of the graphics department doing interior design, but for Las Vegas. I was outfitting casinos out there. And a lot of our projects were about gambling, all of it about gambling, smoking. And again, the still small voice was telling me, yeah, you are living American dream, but all these people going to casinos, I mean, do you really want to promote that? I said, no. So, these are the choices we make. Like, we will be making these choices. And the choices are to abide with God, to what is good, to stay with good. And it's not easy. Canceling the career two times is not easy. But the choice is for you to make. Should you keep Shabbat or go to work? These are choices we live with. These are complicated. And I'm here definitely to point you toward the Lord, to this particular thing, which is from the Lord. This is not you. See, I put the angel in there. This is my little idea, right? But obviously, the Lord is talking and doing things himself. Himself. Don't be the gray little hamsters who run around in this wheel all day, looking at grayness around you. Gray. You don't need this. Be filled with a passion for the Lord. Be filled with the freshness. Expect freshness. And I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish right now with one Hebrew word, which is mean expectation, anticipation. Anticipation. But it is not expectation from humans. It is expectation divine. The Hebrew word is tsadi pei hei. Tsepa. Tsepa. Expectation. Anticipation. Because our hearts are filled with anticipation. We yearn for the Lord. And this particular word means that it's transformation of the normal soul into the righteous soul of tzaddik, the one who listens to the Lord, that keeps the commandment. But transformation made by the power of beauty and love, by hey, not by our own power. Remember that. You cannot drum it up within yourself. Then it's called religion. The bad kind of religion. Bad religion. That happens too, you know. But spirituality is different from religion because this is your personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Expecting, anticipating in love. Hallelujah. So it says here that we should dwell on these things. And it says here that then this love, this charisma is going to abide in us. It's going to stir us. It's going to guide us. And you will come to church with expectation now. You will not be just warming up the pews. That's the expression, right? That's the English expression? Yeah. Every single day in church is a day with your beloved. Every single day with him opening the Bible is reading his love letter. Love letter. This is not religion. And this will transform your life. And it's going to be fresh, it's going to be exciting, it's going to be different, it's going to be thrilling. Amen? Okay. So this is the end of the object lesson for today. Little children, I'm sorry. Yeah. And let's just pray. Hallelujah. Lord, we're just bringing this whole thing into your hands. And we just don't want anything of ourselves in that, but we want to reflect upon your word, test everything according to the Bible, compare it to what your word says, and stick to what is good. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to share this word at this beautiful congregation. We ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, Abby. It's reminded me when God say a word to Noah in Genesis chapter 9. It says here, then God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I'm making between me and you. In every living creature that is with you for all future generations, my rainbow, though I place in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the land. Whenever I bring clouds over the land, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant. Amen? Amen. Shall we all rise up?